Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
She was the only woman to attend all 57 Super Bowls that have been played to this point. The wife of Chiefs founder Lamar Hunt, Norma Hunt, is dead at age 85, and this one kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think anyone really knew if she was ill, and there are no details of her death at this time, but what a wonderful spirit she was. I met her on a few occasions over the years at events that were taking place with the Chiefs, and she loved football. She loved her team. She loved her family. She was a very faithful woman, and she will be missed. She's sort of known as the first lady of football, Lamar Hunt having coined the Super Bowl and starting the AFL as he did, and Norma Hunt was there all along the way, and you just can't have anything else on your resume that says you love football more than attending all 57 Super Bowls. Norma Hunt, the wife of founder Lamar Hunt, is dead at the age of 85. So, again, not a lot of details here, but a very interesting Hunt family story, and they have a very interesting family. That she was intensely private, as is the family at this point. They've had a very public life prior to this for decades and decades and decades. Generations of the Hunt family have been well known, not just throughout Texas, but throughout the United States, as one of America's wealthiest families. She was a hostess for the Dallas Texans. So a hostess was someone who worked in the press box, suites, areas, whatever. She was a hostess. And that's how she met Lamar, who had founded the team, and they got married. Interestingly enough, Clark Hunt, who is now the de facto owner, as the chairman of the Kansas City Chiefs, met his wife, Tavia, when she was a hostess in the press box and suites at Arrowhead Stadium. I remember Tavia was basically, I think she was Miss Kansas. She was a pageant young woman, and she would be in the press box. We would be covering the games, and she was the person who'd bring the stat sheet to you, or can I get you a Diet Pepsi, or here's the popcorn at the end of the third quarter, or whatever. She was a hostess. There's no other way to say it. And she met Clark doing that. Very, very, very interesting that Lamar Hunt and Clark Hunt, the owners, the only two real owners of the Kansas City Chiefs, both met their wives basically in the press box as hostesses. What a country, I guess you would say. Norma was very, very private. And the Hunt family strives to be private, except for the daughter, now who's out there on social media doing all of her stuff. But what a sweet lady. Every time I was around her, she couldn't have been more gracious and kind. And she will be missed. 85 well-lived years. The Chiefs just continue to make news. It's the off-season, but constant news with the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes over the weekend in the big, slick softball game on Friday night hit a home run and had a he fielded a ground ball hit by Eric Stonestreet and threw it behind his back and threw the runner out. I mean, you can't get enough Patrick Mahomes news in this town, but also nationally. You know, you can't pop a screen up anymore on your phone or your computer or whatever, and it doesn't have the little thing at the bottom that says, Patrick Mahomes car collection, Patrick Mahomes house. He's just everywhere, and he makes news everywhere. And on this Monday, he and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid and the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs will be at the White House being welcomed by our esteemed Commander-in-Chief, Joe Biden. Kelce went on his podcast last week and said he's going to go all national treasure at the White House, that he's going to try to get to the Resolute Desk and find the hidden clues and put lemon juice or whatever on the portraits or the paintings. National Treasure movies were fantastic. There is word that there may be another one coming with Nicolas Cage, but I don't think Travis Kelce will be going all Nick Cage at the White House on Monday. He says he's going to try to get in with a fake ID just for giggles. His brother on the podcast said, well, you don't really need an ID. Everybody knows who you are. And he goes, no. They said you bring an ID or you're not getting in. You got to show your ID. And Travis Kelce's been joking that he's going to try to get in with a fake ID. Yeah, that'll go over real well. The Chiefs at the White House on Monday for their Super Bowl win over the Philadelphia Eagles, which is a pretty darn cool thing. But man, the Chiefs are just always in the news, always, whether it's the schedule coming out, whether it's Mahomes doing this or that. He did the big slick thing. He's going to be, I guess, at a Monarchs game. He's making all these appearances. It's just a whirlwind, man. I can't even imagine what it's like to be Patrick Mahomes, even in the offseason, very, very busy. Some great videos from camp last week of him throwing just bombs downfield. The Chiefs are it, man. The Chiefs are everything. And in a weird sort of way, it's a negative for the Royals that Patrick Mahomes stole the show from the weekend. Honestly, I mean, this is what happened. Big Slick happens. You bring all these celebrities in. But it's Patrick Mahomes and the videos of Mahomes playing softball that has the attention of everyone in Kansas City. They are such a big story and such a big thing. It doesn't just overshadow the Royals. In my opinion, I wrote this in the Patrons post over the weekend. I just think in some way it really minimizes what the Royals are to have Patrick Mahomes in the ownership group. I don't think it's a good thing. I think the fact that Eric Stone Street, Patrick Mahomes, these celebrities, whatever, have pieces of the Royals, sort of delegitimizes the Royals. It makes them look like they're, I don't know. I think of like Bill Murray owned a minor league baseball team. You know, celebrities own pieces of things that aren't serious. Like Patrick Mahomes doesn't own part of the Chiefs. They're a very serious operation. I'm not that hopeful for the Royals. I'm just not. I feel like, and I do feel like that Mahomes showing up and being the story of the weekend is just bad for business. I'm not so sure he doesn't actually hurt the Royals in some way, making them look like, you know, oh, there's this little play thing over here that all these celebrities are involved with, and it's just not very serious. The Royals don't look very serious. Now, they got an excellent outing yesterday on Sunday from Brady Singer, who was their pitcher of the year last year. Singer went 5 2/3 innings, no runs, 5 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts. But in the last 10 games, Royals starting pitching has a 2.89 earned run average, and they're still not winning. They're still not winning. They're getting good starting pitching, and they're not winning. Brady Singer on Sunday threw 3 changeups. He's widely knocked for only having 2 pitches, his sinker and his slider. But he threw 3 changeups, which probably isn't enough, but he was terrific on Sunday. That's the second outing in a row, and I think the 5th time this year. 4 or 5 starts this year, he's gone 5 innings and given up no runs. Now, that's really good. And maybe they're getting better. Quintero's getting better at getting him out of the game. He doesn't go deep. That's probably not the most important part of his development to this point. I think any team in baseball would love to have a starting pitcher go 5 innings, no runs. This time he got 2 outs in the 6th, no runs. You love that about Brady Singer. He's got amazing stuff. And you look at him and think, okay, this could be the catalyst. This could be the guy that sort of leads where the Royals are going. You have to have an ace. You just have to have a guy. And Brady Singer has been that. But he's also had some ridiculously terrible innings this year. He doesn't typically go out and pitch 5 or 6 innings and give up runs in 3 of those innings. He typically has knockout stuff. Really good stuff. Striking batters out, breaking bats, and then has 1 terrible inning where he gets flustered. A couple dudes get on base. He loses it. He gets wild down the middle of the plate. Somebody knocks one in the bleachers, and he has big bad inning. But on Sunday, he was terrific, as the Royals were able to win, and Brady Singer was the man he was last year, basically, as Royals Pitcher of the Year. So, still, all of that overshadowed by Patrick Mahomes and the Big Slick guys being in for the weekend, taking the headlines away from the Royals. So, we'll see what happens at the White House with Patrick Mahomes and the gang. Hopefully, Sleepy Joe won't trip. He won't fall. He won't botch some names, but it's possible. Anything's possible with Biden, and a lot of people are talking about Joe Biden. We'll get back to sports a little bit later, but we're starting to see endorsements now in the presidential race. It's a long ways away. They've announced the first Republican debate is August 23rd, so that's only a couple of months away. But we're starting to get endorsements, like people that are really important are going to endorse candidates and say, here's where we're going. Jack Dorsey is the co-founder of Twitter. He's got the awesome Twitter handle of @Jack. He's the co-founder of Twitter, and he has endorsed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Said, quote, he can and will, end quote, beat Trump or DeSantis. No mention of Joe Biden or a primary. I think this has legs. Now, I don't know exactly where this is going, and I believe the Democrats have a machine in place, and they will execute their plan, whatever the plan is. They will execute it just like Obama wants. It's no longer the Clinton Party. It's the Obama Party. However he wants it, he's going to get it. It's astounding to me that Joe Biden is in this race. I still think there's a chance that he pulls out and says, I'm not running. I've never thought he was going to run, but we want him to run. We want Joe Biden to run. Make no mistake about it. We want Joe Biden to run. Now, when you get people like Jack Dorsey, I don't know how influential he is, or James Comey, who's out on a book tour, the former FBI director, saying, oh, it's obvious, it's Biden, Biden's the guy. Dorsey is saying, I'm a Democrat, but Biden isn't the guy. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is. He can and will win. And he was asked, are you endorsing or predicting? And Dorsey said both. Now, this is good news, because if there's only one person rebel enough to run against Biden, I don't know who Marianne Williamson is, I don't really care. But if there's only one person, if Gavin Newsom doesn't have the stones to do it, if there's really only one person against him and he gets on the ballot, this could get interesting. It is a Kennedy. There are plenty of Democrats looking for someone else to vote for. They're all up for grabs. So it could get interesting with a sitting president. We'll see what happens. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not a perfect candidate. He's got this voice problem, and it stems from an illness that he had many, many, many years ago. But he sounds every bit as frail as Joe Biden, which makes him not the perfect candidate. What you like about RFK is I think he's a closet conservative. On so many issues, he agrees with Trump or DeSantis. On so many things. I mean, a lot of things. Doesn't really like the Green New Deal. He wants to protect the environment, but doesn't believe you can buy your way into that. There's a whole bunch of he's. I think he's totally anti-vax. I wouldn't describe myself as anti-vax. I don't like the COVID jab. We're learning more and more about the COVID jab now. The effectiveness after 4 months is only 24%. And we now know only 20% of American adults are getting this shot now. Hospitalizations have been recategorized as, quote, COVID-like symptoms. They don't say you have COVID. China has a big outbreak going on right now, and that's not a problem in America because we have what's considered to be population immunity, which means most Americans have had it or had it go through their body, and we've developed natural immunity to this. So it's not as big a deal, and that's one of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s biggest items, biggest topics, is the way we handled COVID and the shots and pharmaceuticals and all that. He, in many ways, is very conservative. He's a closet Republican or closet conservative. I think it'd be awesome if he ran for president, or he is running. I think it'd be awesome if he became the candidate. We would almost be, if he could beat Biden in the primaries, and I don't think he will because I think the machine is in place to do what it does, but if he did beat Biden, we'd be in a no-lose scenario. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would be so much better than any other Democrat that you could even remotely think about running. I'd take him. I'd take him over Biden in a heartbeat in the Obama machine. Kennedy would be basically middle finger to Obama, Clinton, Biden, all those people. He's the old school Democrat. And old school Democrats were kind of conservative. John F. Kennedy today would be a Republican. No question about it. Martin Luther King would be a Republican. All these figures from the past that were Democrats would essentially be considered conservative today. And RFK is one of those. And I find it fascinating that people are, and maybe some celebrities and whatnot will start endorsing him. I don't really know, but I think there's an appetite on the left for someone else to run and for Biden to not be their guy. James Comey, on the other hand, is out there saying it has to be Biden. It just had, well, he's part of the machine. I wonder, as we're watching James Comey do all these interviews on his book tour and full-throated endorsements of leftist politics, as we're seeing him do this, am I the only one that thinks while he's doing this, he's hiding something? He's terrified that Trump will get back in because Trump either knows or has something on James Comey. I mean, it just feels that way. I mean, he is desperately trying to get Biden reelected. Who's doing that? Biden's not desperately trying to get Biden reelected. He's not. I mean, there's no campaigning. He can't go anywhere. He trips and falls and stumbles and can't get through a speech. So he's not trying all that hard. But James Comey is. And you know, he protests too much, James Comey. He's like, oh, yeah, this crazy right-wing conspiracy theory that the FBI has become a leftist organization. He's screaming too loud. There's something there. There's a there, to steal the stupid political statement. There's a there. There's something with James Comey. And the louder he screams for Joe Biden to be reelected, the more worried I get that there's something that James Comey did or knows that he does not want to come to the light of day. Pretty interesting. All right, KKHI is brought to you by 360 Document Solutions. My buddy Mark over at 360 Document Solutions has a simple request for you and the business that you operate. If you're doing business with one of these giant copier companies, you know the brands. I'm not going to rattle off the brands, but it's a national deal that if you have a service problem or an issue or whatever, you call a number and you get somebody in India or Guatemala or wherever. Go with a local company that has personal service and can make a difference for your team. That's 360 Document Solutions. Copiers, printers, voice over IP. He told me a story that he knew a customer that had 10 phones shipped to them and a copier by this big corporation. And they just sent him the phones. And like, you're supposed to set them up? Who knows how to do all that, right? It can be intricate. 360 is all about service. So why don't you call Mark and his team at 360 Document Solutions, see if you can get out of what you're currently in and save some money. He could save you some money and get personal service. 913-745-5344, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Amazing Garage Floors is ready to hook you up this summer with the perfect garage floor. John and Heather are just awesome people, great American patriots. And they can turn your garage into something special with an amazing garage floor. They also do concrete ceiling. 913-901-7139, amazinggaragefloors.net. And my man, Dr. Bill Bush at NKC Dental, is my dentist. He could be your dentist too. He's the dentist of the Chiefs. And they've got an award-winning dentistry. It's a phenomenal place in North Kansas City. You're going to love it. It's just so good. It's just so awesome. He really treats you with care, and they're fun, and his staff smile, and they have a great time. You know, going to the dentist isn't the thing that's on the top of your list, so they want to make it enjoyable, and they do that at North Kansas City Dental. If you'd like to switch dentists, make Dr. Bush your dentist. Online at nkcdental.com or 816-471-2911. Ooh, how about this? Fox News ratings. Fox, the first month with no Tucker Carlson, Fox News is down 37% overall. Their ratings are down 37%, not 3.7%, 37%. In their key demographic, which I believe is 18 to 49-year-olds, in the key demo, it's even worse. This is the one that they sell off of. 62% of the audience is gone. And this is overall, I mean, the time slot's a disaster. They just keep rotating in guest hosts. It's unwatchable. I watch very, very little Fox News primetime anymore. I can watch a little bit of Jesse Waters. He gives me something. Hannity and Laura Ingraham just annoy the living daylights out of me. I can't do it. Trump was on last week. I watched some of that because Trump was on. And there will be events like that that we'll watch. But the 7 o'clock hour, the hot rumor out there is that they're going to move Gutfeld out of late night, move him up, give him his own show in prime time, and move Jesse Waters back an hour or two. We'll see what happens. There's going to be a shakeup. And it has to happen relatively soon. You would think in the next month or two, they would announce what it is that they're going to do, because we're getting into the presidential election season, and that'll be a really big deal. If it were my company, I'd apologize to Tucker and bring him back. That's what I'd do. He didn't do anything wrong. The Absolutely nothing. Wow, that's stunning. Their key demo, their ratings are off 62%. That is just absolutely astounding. All right, back to sports we go. There was some news last week that in the SEC, Greg Sankey, the commissioner, wanted to play 9 conference games as they expand, as the league expands. Beginning in 2024, he wanted to play 9 conference games. He lost this argument. The ADs and the coaches have their way, and they're going to play 8 conference games going forward, but it's not etched in stone. It's just what they're going to do in 24 and see how it goes. The reasoning behind Greg Sankey wanting to go to 9 conference games was the expanded college football playoff, they're going to be looking at resumes of teams. So I think theoretically what we're talking about here is a 2-loss or a 3-loss team. And they might start looking at strength of schedule and saying, should they slip in to the expanded playoff or not? His argument is you got to play more conference games to make sure your strength of schedule is where it needs to be. So it really shined a light on an issue in the SEC that nobody ever talks about. I don't think anybody questions the SEC is the best college football conference. That's not in question here. But it is top heavy. There are rummies in that league, just like every league. So it's not across the board, but the top of the SEC is the cream of the crop. There's no doubt about it. Georgia and Alabama, I think, would be considered the top 2 programs in America today, and they're both in the same conference. But there is one ugly little number out there that Greg Sankey was trying to avoid by saying, let's play 9 conference games. And that is, in the SEC, they don't like to schedule opponents. They don't like to play tough schedules. They're like, we're in the SEC. That's hard enough. We're not doing it. So this year, this upcoming year, 2023, for example, in the Big 12, 11 of the 14 teams in the Big 12 will play 10 power conference opponents. 11 of 14 will have 10 games against power opponents. In the Big 10, 13 of 14 teams will play 10 power opponents. In the Pac-12, 10 of 12 teams will play 10 power opponents. And in the SEC, only 2 of the 14 will play 10 power opponents this year. So it's real. Sankey made a good point. It would be a goofy schedule. They're not going to do divisions. They're, you know, breaking this thing up and just going to play it. And the number 1 versus number 2 are going to play for the SEC title in the championship game. But it does kind of shine a light on the fact that the SEC does not really want to schedule another power opponent. I'm not even saying the coaches are wrong or the ADs. They may be right. It may be so brutal to play in the SEC that that's enough. And I can't even envision a day where there is some bias on a committee or a playoff against the SEC to not get, well, I think what we're talking about here is a 3rd team in the playoffs. That's what they want, is 3 teams in the college football playoff every year. In order to do that, Sankey's thinking is, we got to play a tougher schedule. We got to schedule somebody else, and if you're not going to schedule them on your own, we'll just impose it by playing 9 conference games, and that fell short. That fell by the wayside. Not going to happen. Hey, listen, if you're looking to go to an SEC football game or any other football game this fall, ticketsforless.com is the place to go. Right now, the College World Series is going on. You want to go to the College World Series? Perfect. They've got tickets at ticketsforless.com. Luke Combs is Saturday night. You want to go to Arrowhead and see Luke Combs and Riley Green at Arrowhead on Saturday night? Ticketsforless.com. Your promo code is KKHI at checkout. KKHI. You will typically save 5 to 15% off your entire order at ticketsforless.com. All the biggest events, Chiefs, Royals, Sporting, Current, it's all there. Ticketsforless.com. Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. It's everything guys like, okay? They got pool tables, shuffleboard, pinball machines, all kinds of great gaming consoles, bar stools. Of course, they have for the ladies the area rug that you want in your room, outdoor furniture. It's all at Amini's. Longtime sponsor that I've been affiliated with way back to the radio days. R. Ash Amini and his family do such a great job providing quality lifestyle products for you and your family. Living better in your home with Amini's. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. And BStock.net's giving away a free TV. July 4th giveaway. No purchase necessary. Go to 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe and sign up free. They're giving away a 4th of July TV. It's a Samsung TU7000 70-inch big screen. Absolutely free. One entry per person. And if you buy something at BStock, you get another entry. Somebody's going to win it. Why wouldn't you go sign up in person in Olathe at BStock.net? College basketball. A lot of news was made in the past couple of weeks with Hunter Dickinson, the number one, considered to be the number one transfer, I think, by most people. Number one transfer from Michigan to Kansas. He's 7 feet one, 260 pounds. He averaged like 19 points a game and 9 rebounds or something sick like that. Like, this is a great player Kansas is getting. A great player. And we've talked about it, and a lot of people are buzzing, and KU's in all these preseason polls at number one, and they rightfully should be. They just killed it in the portal. Like, Bill Self just said, okay, how do we do this portal thing? Well, let's just open it up, and we'll try, and, oh, we'll be the best in the country at it. And he is. And they are. And they are loaded. They lost a lot of players that they didn't care to keep, and they signed through the portal a whole bunch of players that they really, really want. So a lot's been made of Hunter Dickinson, and it just becomes a matchup problem. You know, we've seen this with Kansas before. When they have a really, really, really good big man, there's no stopping them because it's just throw the ball at the rim, they dunk it on you, and it's just incredibly hard to beat. And this guy's a stud. He is a great player. So I don't want to draw too much of a comparison, but it's very interesting that Missouri has signed the Oral Roberts transfer, Connor Vanover. This dude is 7 feet, 5 inches tall. What? 7'5". That's right. Signed on with Dennis Gates and the Missouri Tigers, and obviously he's a rim protector and a rebounder. Apparently can shoot a little bit. Took some three-point shots as well. This is not as well-known a player as Hunter Dickinson, and maybe isn't making the same kind of headlines, but if you can play just a little bit of basketball and you're 7'5", you're a difference maker. You just are. Now, this is a skinny kid. Get this. Dickinson is 7'1", weighs 260 pounds. Vanover is 7'5", and weighs 227. So, that's a skinny kid. I'm assuming he's just the kind of young man that you can't bulk up. You can try. He can eat and eat and eat and eat and can't gain weight or muscle or whatever. So, he's not some big Barkley presence down low, but 7 feet five is 7 feet and 5 inches. That's awesome. Connor Vanover, transfer from Oral Roberts, which I think is a really interesting move for Missouri. Who doesn't want a big man? I mean, so many college basketball teams have a guy in the middle that's 6'8 or 6'9. And now KU and MU both have 7-footers, which is not an everyday occurrence. Dickinson's a stud. He's going to be a real difference maker for Kansas basketball this year. They look like they're going to be loaded and ready to rock. The Denver Nuggets weren't ready to rock on Sunday night. Wow, what a surprise there. They fall 111-108 to the Miami Heat. We were talking last week about a possible sweep by the Nuggets, and they certainly looked the part in game one, but not on Sunday night. Jimmy Butler had 21 points, had a really solid fourth quarter, and the Heat took everything the Nuggets could throw at them and beat them. That's all the Heat have done in the postseason. Spoelstra, their coach, is, by most accounts, people think he's the best coach in basketball, really at any level. The Heat were the 8th seed in the East and have just been winning out on the road and beating everybody. They've had no home court advantage, nothing. And they just go out on the road and beat people, and now they beat Denver and tied the series at 1 each, which more than makes it a series. I guess you could say they flipped it, and now they're the favorite because they go back home. I mean, this is crazy. Jokic had 41 points and 11 rebounds in this game, and it wasn't enough for Denver. That's a very surprising outcome and a surprising series, but sometimes in sports, we love this. Teams just play their best. When it matters most, they find an edge, and Miami's done that. They're very well coached. They will find a weakness of an opponent. They will expose that weakness and capitalize on it. That's exactly what the Miami Heat are doing. I don't know if you're watching the finals or not, but I'm watching. I'm not taking my eye off this thing now. It's crazy. I did not expect this at all. And maybe it's a one-off. Maybe the Nuggets gather it together. And you know, the Nuggets have certainly won road games. They went to L.A. and swept through that thing and won at the Lakers. And they've won road games. They're capable of going to Miami and winning, but they're going to need to now. They're going to need to win a road game or they're toast. And I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. We want to thank our friends over at Fry Orthodontics for being a sponsor of the podcast. They're online at fryorthodontics.com, where your smile is just the start. Advanced Medical Imaging. Folks, it's time to get that heart scan. If you're over 40, get a heart scan. It costs less than $100. Online, medimageks.com. They also do MRIs, CT scans, all that. Advanced Medical Imaging is just the most state-of-the-art, wonderful place you could go. It's big and comfortable and roomy. It doesn't feel, you don't feel trapped going in there. It's the latest and greatest. Advanced Medical Imaging is online at medimageks.com. Why wait? See what's inside today at Advanced Medical Imaging, medimageks.com. And Great Life Golf, play more golf. Ooh, boy, I've been playing a lot of golf. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I'm playing a lot of golf. I maybe need to back off a little bit. I'm playing so much golf. If you want to play more golf, send an email to join@greatlifegolf.com. That's join@greatlifegolf.com and find out the courses near you and how little you can pay for all the golf you want to play. Or they have daily fee courses as well. If you mention the podcast, many of those are 20% off. If you mention KKHI, greatlifekc.com is the website. Play more golf. Phil Knight is the founder of Nike. You probably know his story, and you probably know Nike's story. If you haven't, there's a movie out. I think it's called Air, right? I saw this a couple weeks ago. It's a tremendous movie. It's really good. Really, really good. It's about Nike was the leader in running shoes, but they didn't, they had diddly squat in basketball, and they weren't as big as, at that point, Converse and Adidas. And they went after a player named Michael Jordan, trying to get Michael Jordan to sign up out of North Carolina and wear Nikes. They said, we'll develop an entire brand. We'll call it Air Jordan. They invented the Jumpman logo and all the other stuff. It's a great movie. It really is terrific if you want to see it. Phil Knight's an interesting guy. He founded the company. He's a conservative. He's a Republican in Oregon. Loves Portland, which is one of the most crazy liberal places on earth. And while he doesn't profess his politics frequently, he is known to support a bunch of candidates that are conservative. While running, I guess you'd have to say one of the most liberal companies there is, and all the stuff that people are canceling Target for and Bud Light and all that, Nike was the front runner and all that stuff. All that, they're weird in Portland, in Oregon, they're weird. They're on the leading edge of all this stuff. So Nike's been there every step of the way. That's not the point of the comments here. Phil Knight, it's fascinating to me. I guess that's what you have to do when you're running a business. If that's the way, you can't argue Phil Knight's success. You just can't. They're the number one brand. He's an iconic figure, clearly is more than great at what he has done and what he does. A sensational, great American story by a conservative who let his company go woke. But whatever, if that works for him. He says he loves Portland. He says Portland is getting completely out of control, unrecognizable, all these things he's speaking out. You've seen it. You've seen the homelessness, the drug usage, the violence, the burning, all the things that are happening in Portland. Phil Knight loves the area and says it's very important to him that the Portland Trailblazers stay there, the NBA team. And he wants to buy the team and ensure that it is going to stay in Portland. Now, Paul Allen was the billionaire that owns the Seattle Seahawks and the Portland Trailblazers. And he died a few years ago. His sister is in charge of everything. And so she's got it all. And she says it isn't for sale. But she's also left open the possibility. I think the scare here is that she would move it to Seattle, where the Supersonics used to play, now the Oklahoma City team. So there's a fear that Portland would lose its basketball team because of the ownership group. So he offered $2 billion last year. Now he's saying, I'll pay more. How much? He's basically saying, write down on a piece of paper, how much do you want for the Trailblazers? I'm going to buy them and keep them in Portland and set it up. And he's no young guy. I think he's in his 80s. Phil Knight's old. But he wants to set it up and make sure that it's always in Portland, which is kind of what Ewan Kauffman did here in Kansas City with the Royals. If you recall, the way he set that up through a charitable foundation and such. This is really interesting to see what happens. She's clearly leaving open the possibility she's going to move the team by not selling it. She owns the Seahawks. Isn't that good enough? I'm not really sure. I can't say that I know what's going to happen there, but I find it pretty darn interesting that Phil Knight is concerned that the Portland Trailblazers are going to be moving, and he's going to do everything he can to keep them there. And how do you say no to Phil Knight? This is going to be interesting to follow and watch and see if Portland maybe... The city's falling apart. The big story here is that city is just crumbling. Like, we have problems in Kansas City. The murder rate's too high. There's all kinds of things in Mayor Q's Kansas City. They're crumbling, falling apart. Infrastructure. We've got a lot of issues here. We are not even close to what Portland is. Not even close. We've got some homeless encampments. They put some people in hotels. They've done some things here in Kansas City. But Portland is just flat out dangerous. There was a guy who's a local journalist, and his moniker actually is Save Portland. And he literally goes around with people and tries to help homeless people to get them out of this. And he's been attacked 3 times with violence, like attacked and beaten up and bit and punched and all these other things. It's so bad in Portland, you can't go help them. You could be a minister and your passion is to go help people in need and go try to help these people. They will beat you up. They've taken it over. They've taken over the city. It's a total mess, Portland. Absolute mess. You know what? It's one of the few places I haven't been. There was really no point in my career where we were covering a game or anything was in Portland that I went to. I've never been to Portland. I always thought it looks beautiful. Oregon's a great place. Man, what a shame. What an absolute shame. And you know, like I know, most of this just all goes back to liberal politics. You put the people in charge and you do it the way they do it and you're going to crumble. We're seeing that on a much bigger scale in America, but not to the extent that we see overall in Portland. So keep an eye on Phil Knight. Interesting guy. And if you haven't seen that movie, Air, go see it. It's really good. I think you'll really, really, really like it if you haven't checked it out so far. All right, we're off and running. Hope your summer is off to a great start. Mine is, and we're looking forward to a great week of podcasts here at KKHI. Don't forget the KK list for all of our sponsors. If you're looking for a conservative goods or services, the KKList.com is the place to go. You'll see everybody right there. You'll see the podcast sponsors and others that are just part of the list. If you'd like to become part of the list, go to the KKList.com, the KKList.com. Click on join the list and we'll set your business up on there. Get you on there. We love conservative businesses. We want to help promote those and we know that you want to support them. So go to the KKList.com anytime and check out what's going on there. Appreciate that. If you want to become a patron, kkhasissues.com is the place to go. Just get on the website on your desktop or your laptop. It's easier than on your phone. And sign up. We do about 3 premium podcasts each week and the newsletter every weekend. I think you'll enjoy it. It only costs $5. We'd love to have you on board as a patron of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.